Blog Talk Radio.
Finally back on the air after all the pomp and circumstances, which was the first annual Pistol Pete Memorial Tag Team Tournament. For the people listeners, you're here live on UWC Radio. Don't forget you can check us out on Sundays. Usually go from 7 till about 8:15 or so. And got so much to talk about or whatever, but real quick, the lineup. Got Guyam, who is one half of the first ever Tag Team Tournament Champions for the Pistol Pete Memorial. Him and Fletch Fugaz pulled it out. So we're going to have him on, talk a little bit about that. And, you know, it was a crazy match. I mean, I think Guyam did a dive and he got his chin cut because he ran into something or got cut by something over there. So we'll talk to him about that. And then at about the 45-minute mark, we got Dashay coming up. There's a new organization called Pride Style Wrestling that's out there in Las Vegas. And we just happened to be going to go check out that show, which is coming up this Friday. So got Dashay to come on, talk a little bit about that. His opponent had to pull out at the last minute because of some COVID protocols or whatever. So he's got a new opponent. So we'll talk to him a little bit about that. Talk to him a little bit about this new Pride style show that's coming up that we're actually going to go to. Nicolette herself, she said, hey, let's go check this out. And since we're going to be out in Vegas, I would like to go check out this new wrestling organization. And then when she saw Dashade and Ricky Mandel and Darwin Finch and everybody's on, she said, yeah, we're definitely going to have to go check that show out. So we'll talk to him about that. So with all that being said, it took a lot just to get those three shows in, to have that first annual Pistol Pete Memorial Tag Team Tournament. You know, it started, first two shows were at Metroflex in Long Beach, and then we had the big end all to be all out there in Hawaiian Gardens at the new place, which was pretty cool. You know, Manny, the owner and the proprietor and the taker over of UWC, went all out. And he said, look, man, if this is the finals and this is, of course, the first one, you know, I want to go make sure that it's extremely full-blown with all the bells and whistles and everything. And I said, okay. And it was pretty cool. You know, it was inside. We did have all the lights kind of darkened out, and then had the big light spotlight on the top that made it even a little bit more spectacular. And then, of course, myself, I brought the Mexican flag out for Guyam and Fletch. And then Jackie Catalan came out of nowhere, former Olympic wrestler who went all the way up to the finals. And then, you know, she retired after that, and she's into mixed martial arts now and everything. She just happened to come down to check out the show, and she's like, man, I'd be more than happy to take the American flag out for Sean Black and for Tony Reyes. I'm like, absolutely. So she took the flag out for them, and it took a lot, you know, to get everything going. I mean, the show went really well, but again, I had two people drop out the day before. The night before, I had Alexander Vega drop out, and I had Freddie Flores drop out. And then that morning, Guy Cool sent me some pictures. He just made a wrong step and his foot looked like a balloon. It had swelled up. He thought it was broken, but I don't know if it was just sprained or whatever. So we had to move some people around, you know, just to get that show going, but it did turn out well. Now that's all the positive. Everything went really well. You know, got that trophy presented. Manny even got some, you know, some gifts for the runners up and all that turned out really well. Now, I did catch it. I got to tell you, the most heat that I caught is because of Mondo. Now, we had him here on this show, and we talked to him. We talked about, you know, him traveling up and down the coast with Pete, you know, and in the wrestling terms, being married to Pete for so long. They, you know, went all over wrestling each other. And when we're training, he would implement that into the thing. He'd say, hey, you know, Mondo and I used to do this, and this used to really get a big, you know, thing out of the crowd or pop or whatever. So, you know, well, Manny talked to him. He said, hey, look, man, you know, it'd be great for you to come down and present the trophy. You know, you can get back in that ring and, you know, that you're used to. And he's okay. Yeah, cool, man. You know, we'll go ahead and come down and all that. So we made sure. We said, you sure? He says, yeah. I'm coming down. Didn't show up. So for regardless of whatever excuse, whatever happened, or whatever family emergencies or whatever came up, he didn't come. But he did commit, and we did, because everybody came to me and said, hey, you know what happened or whatever. People even brought stuff to be signed or whatever, and he just, you know, he wasn't there. So it's the, you know, we didn't false advertise or anything like that. He did commit to come, and he just wasn't there or whatever. So I don't know if Manny's talked to him and we're going to get him on something else or whatever. And he was a big part of that, him. Mondo Guerrero, Dr. Tom Pritchard was another one who Pete wrestled a lot back in the day at the Olympic Auditorium and, you know, things of that nature. So he is a big part of all that. So we just definitely – okay, so it didn't happen, so let's do something else so where he comes out and, you know, maybe he could talk a little bit about what it was like to go up and down, you know, wrestling him, you know, all over the place. So hopefully that'll work out. But the people who didn't get to see Mondo, you know, we'll make sure that he is coming, and if we have to go to his house and go pick him up and bring him to the venue or whatever, we'll be sure to get him and all that. So that went really well. And then, you know, we got AJ Manat came down at the last minute. He's worked championship wrestling from Hollywood. And he came down, and I hey, man, so many people pulled out. I moved Maligno up into the semi-main, and I had AJ come with me, and he did all the heavy lifting. I mean, he you know, he was picking people up and slamming them, but I just had to come in and do my thing, and I was out of there. So it worked out really well for me. He's moving on, I think, to do some bigger things or whatever. So, you know, that worked out well. And then, of course, you know, all the stuff that we had ongoing from there. So it all in all, it was great. Talked to Manny. Didn't meet today because I had so much going on with work and everything. And we're looking at February 27th for the next one. That's going to start for it's not going to be so much a tournament, but we're just going to start working towards getting the UWC World Heavyweight Singles Champion. So we're going to start working on that. So as we put that together over the holidays, you know, we'll announce who's going to start, you know, wrestling for that so we can crown a UWC World Heavyweight Champion. So, you know, we appreciate the people coming out. It's a lot of work, man. You know, I get these people on here and we talk a lot about what it takes to get a show going, just like I am. He's got a big show coming up on the 11th, which is this Sunday, a week from today. So we'll talk to him a little bit about that, about, you know, what it takes to get that going. Him and Enigma are promoting. They always have to go down to Puerto Escondido, you know, to make an appearance and get the people out there. They go all over the place. So it does take a lot to put everything together. So, you know, that's why we've taken a little bit of time off over the holidays so we can get everything together and really, really start pushing it out there. So we'll talk to him about that. And of course, we'll talk to Shade about his big show coming up at Pride. So I'm going to go ahead and take a break and make a couple of calls and see if we can get Guyam in here a little bit early so we can get that going. So for the people listening to us on UWC Radio, hang on. We'll be right back. Guyam says, yeah, he's good to go, so we'll get to him in a minute, but we got to get in Paul's Photo. Paul's Photo, far and away, is the best store for all your camera needs. Located in the city of Torrance, they have the best prices and professional advice from beginner to pro, still photos or videos, Paul's Photo will take care of all your photo and video needs. Located at 23845 Hawthorne Boulevard in the city of Torrance, and you can call Mark at 310-375-7014. You can always go to paulsphoto.com if you need more information. Paul's Photo, ready, willing, and able to help with all your camera needs. Also, can't forget Yards After Contact. You got to check out Yards After Contact, apparel, clothing brand, and, of course, custom cornhole boards. Go to their Facebook to check out some of their cool picks, especially the UWC custom cornhole boards, as well as UWC t-shirts and golf shirts modeled by our own owner and proprietor of the United Wrestling Council, Manny Pinson. Yards After Contact is your number one source for apparel and custom cornhole boards. Check it out and get yours today. Yards After Contact is a proud sponsor of UWC Radio. So let's give Kaya McCall. I got so much. It's good to get him a little bit early because I always have so much to talk about when we get him on here. So hopefully he's good to go. I don't know if he's still recuperating. I doubt it.
Yes, sir.
Hey, Kayem, it's Fabiano. You're live on UWC Radio. Can you hear me, my friend?
Well, it's an honor, and I'm very happy to be on live, my brother. Nothing like live audience.
Yes, let me give you this, because this is you and Fletch Fugaz right now. Guys are on fire. But, hey,
love it.
Before we continue, for the people listening, you're here. You're at UWC Radio. Don't forget to check us out on Sundays from 7 till we usually go about 8, 8:15. But on the line with me right now, one half of the first ever Pistol Pete Memorial Tag Team Champions, Guyam himself.
Yes,
Guyam, how are you? How are you after all? Because, man, it was – hey, we knew it was going to be a rough and tumble – type of match, but it was a lot more than I expected. So how you feeling right about that?
Oh, my brother. Well, I knew that these guys were going to bring it all. They were going to fight tooth and nail, and they did. But Fugaz and I were just real strong, and we got the experience. And, I mean, luck was on our side. What can I say? And we brought that very, very, very valuable, very treasured trophy, my brother. What
yes.
an honor. What an honor. And then to have Pistol Pete's family there. Oh, my God.
Yeah.
It was very moving, right? It was very moving. Mm-hmm. Thank you, Manny Piston, for organizing this and for thinking of us. And it was just one hell of a show and one hell of a match, because these guys are tough as nails. I must say, Tony Ray and Sean Black, these guys are just tough, tough, tough. And I knew it. I knew it, man.
Yeah.
And my jaw's barely recovering right now.
Yeah. And through that match, you know, it started off, you guys just went right at it or whatever. And you guys were able to kind of isolate Tony Ray's for a little bit. And I saw him, man. He was starting to suck wind. And I thought, this is it, man. They're wearing this guy down. This is going to be it. But then you did a dive to the outside. And I don't know if you hit the wire or whatever on the bottom, but split the bottom of your chin wide open.
Yeah.
It was blood everywhere. I'm like, what the heck? Because I brought the flag out and I stayed and keep an eye on Jackie over there, the former Olympic wrestler, because I don't know what she was going to do. And I said, I'm okay. Let's just keep going. So tell us what happened in that whole scenario right there.
Well, no, it wasn't at the dive. It was Tony Ray. You see, that was the whole plan. Fugaz and I, we agreed that we would isolate Ray. To me, because of his power, you know, I mean, this guy can really slam you, and then if he just carries his weight on you, you're pretty much done. And of course, Sean Black, his movements, you know, are real quick. So we're on it. So out of desperation, they're just wailing, and he just throwing punches, and he caught me. He caught me right in the freaking chin. He caught me, man. He caught me. And I mean, I've been busted there a lot of times before, so it's pretty sensitive. But I saw all the planets in the solar system, my brother. And I rolled out. I said, that's just the way it is. And Fugaz, I mean, this guy, like I tell you, I'm just so used to wrestling with Enigma. my brother. I turned and he's there. I mean, and he turned and up. And with Fugaz, it's very similar. Not exactly the same thing, of course, because Enigma and I worked on our craft for years. You see, it's a polished act because you work on so many years. But with Fugaz, I mean, we got the same mentality. So when I rolled out and he saw Blood, when I looked up, he was already on Ray on him. I go, okay, good. Because if Ray was coming, I mean, all wrestlers, they can smell blood, you know, and they know
right.
there's a big window of opportunity to take it home right there, you know?
Yeah. And, it's funny.
It was tough. No.
But it's funny because he said, I'm going to pick up Tony Reyes and slam him. And he actually
did it.
What was worse was Tony was dead weight because he had been, you know, getting beat on and everything. So he just was dead weight. So when he picked him up, I went, oh, my God. Bam.
That's how you
get the strength. Yeah. He said, oh, and then bam, that was over. So the teamwork, I think, is what got you to the promised land because you were already ready.
Yeah,
he slapped him, bam. Before Tony knew what happened, it was over.
Yeah, well, it's because right after the body slam, I saw it. You see, I had just gotten out of the dive on Sean.
Yeah.
So I very hurried the house. I knew I Fletcher was, we could sense that Ray was weakening. We could sense it.
Yeah.
And so when I put him out, I see the body slam. I go, shit, I better get up there real quick. And I got up there and I gave him the crossbody from the third rope. And when I landed on him, brother, I mean, I heard his the last wind come out of him. Go,
yeah.
And I said, oh, okay, it's over. Because I landed with so much force that I bounced off. But Fletcher immediately covered 1, 2, 3. Boy, that felt good.
And it was over.
That felt good.
Okay, great. I mean, you guys are going to have to move on now. And Manny's like, well, you know, they did 3 hard matches to get that. We definitely have to put the belts on them, and they're going to have to defend the belts or whatever. But before we get into that, the best bump of the night, I don't know if you saw it because you did that dive on Sean, and the referee went out there to see if you guys were okay, but his foot got caught in the banner, and Bob got to the face first.
Oh.
Dude, I thought he was out. I thought that was it. Me too.
I heard the ladder just pow on the concrete. I go, oh man, this guy.
Yeah.
I said, well, maybe I guess it's going to turn into no referee match, you know?
Yeah, no contest. But luckily,
I really thought Manny Pitts was going to send another ref.
Yeah. Props to Bob Oso. He got up and he finished that match or whatever because I thought he was dead, man. I mean, he really could. But there was so much excitement going on and everything was just so, bam. He just went out there and blackatelas and it was crazy. But they did do it. So we talked about that, Manny and I, and he's like, yeah, man, I got to put the belts on those guys. I want to see if they can defend. I'm going to start bringing – but what he told me is I'm going to even up the competition even more. So he's been actively out recruiting and scouting and looking at different teams or whatever to bring in because he said, hey, man, it took a lot to win that tournament, but, let's see if they can raise that bar and just keep going up.
Oh, hell yeah.
My question to you guys, ready for that challenge?
Oh, yes, sir. I mean, that's what it's all about. That's what you compete, or we compete at a world-class level, you see.
Right.
And my brothers, they brought me up to that level, and I thank them from the bottom of my heart. And there's nothing like competing against the best. Because when you compete against the best, it brings out the best out of you.
Yes.
You see? And so Manny's doing the right thing. Manny understands this. So he says, hey, there's no sense in bringing out, in Spanish we call them bultos. Bultos, what do you call them? Bumps. Yeah, we don't want to wrestle bums, not bumps. Ah, that's no big no. We want the best. We want the best. And of all the federations around, there's a lot of talent, okay? There's a lot of talent. Look, there's Los Luchas. There's Piloto and Shamu. There's a there's a lot there, but Vito is a major presence right now in pro wrestling here in Southern California. Vito, I mean, there's just so many guys out there, you know, hungry, and to defeat El Chivo Cayam and Flecha Fugaz. This promotion, Manny's promotion, now is getting more credibility, and it will move on and it'll move on. I mean, I loved it, brother. Let me tell you, thank you for having me on, because I want to thank you and Manny, because in the dressing rooms, you feel the energy, you know.
Yeah,
that's what it's all about. You feel that energy. You feel that I see the kids, you know, the guys in the first few bus. I see the hunger in their eyes. I go, man, Manny knows how to pick these kids.
Good. Well, you know, Manny was talking about, he goes, hey, you know, have you heard of these guys called Mustache Mountain? And I'm like, absolutely. He goes, well, they're free agents now. They were in WWE European part. You know, I really would like to bring them. Do you think they can hang with the European? I go, man, there is nothing that these guys haven't seen. I said, you bring those guys, it's going to be a hell of a match. So, like, that's the whole reason why you guys got to where you were, because there's nothing you and Fugaz haven't seen before, you know?
Right. We wrestled all over the place. Look at, I've wrestled against guys that we don't even speak the same language.
Mm-hmm.
All right? We wrestled in Memphis, Tennessee. Oh, in your town. In Memphis, Tennessee was an armory. And the dress rooms were totally separated. Okay, totally separated. And then I said, you know, I always like talking to the ref before we go up, because I want to make sure that what's expected of the ref, and I want to see if the ref knows what the hell he's doing and everything. And I like talking to the ref before we go up. And so I said, where's the ref? He's in the other dressing room. He prefers to change his into gear with faces. And I go, what the hell? And he said, okay, you want to talk? And I go, yes. And I talked to him over the phone. Take me through the phone with this guy. And so I mean, that's just, we wrestled with everybody. And then we wrestled against these Russians. We didn't speak the same language, but the language is professional wrestling. And that's why when people say you're lucha and this is American, that's BS. It's professional wrestling. We all speak the same language, brother. The same language.
I agree 100%. And that's why I always talk to Enigma, because he says you have to be well-rounded. But real quick, for the people, listeners, you're here, you're at UWC Radio, and we're talking to Cayam and Chivo himself. Big victory, you know, for the first ever Memorial Tag Team Tournament for Pistol Pete Marquez. But, you know, they just continue to march on, because Lucha Libre Alliance has a big show coming up on Sunday, December 12th. It's going to be at the Lucha Arena over there on Florence and Main. The doors open at about 5, and first match get going about usually 5:30, and then the first match goes at 6. Now, talking about that, you get no breaks or whatever, because when I saw the match and I saw it was you teaming with Warhog against the Plague and Hades, I said, man, this guy does not take it easy, because, first of all, for the people listening to us, the Plague, I don't know how to describe it. He's a big dude, but I've never seen somebody this strong. I mean, he will pick you up and put you over your head and throw you 100 miles. Yeah. So tell me a little bit about how that match came about, because you and Warhog are going to take on the Plague and Hades. Tell me a little bit about that.
Okay, first of all, the Plague, this guy, I think his only rival when it comes to strength, pound for pound, is Cesaro from WWE.
Yes.
I think that's the only guy who might, they would have a battle right there in strength-wise, okay, because this guy is phenomenal. But the Plague, we go way back, right? We go way back.
Right.
And he contacted me and he says, you know what? That belt that Warhog has, I'm hearing a lot about LLA, Lucha Libre Alliance. I'm hearing a lot about it. And so I think it would be really, really good in my resume to defeat the champ. And I said, hold on. I mean, you can't get a shot at the title right away. I mean, there's a line of guys who who are ready, including the Flecha Fugaz. I mean, he's way up there. He says, okay, then at least put me in a match with him, and I'm going to show that kid what the plague is all about. Wow. And I says, all right. And but Holly, as you see, Holly is this guy who's so dedicated, brother. He's in the gym. We work out in the same gym, so I see this guy. I observe him. And this guy just he's ready to explode any moment. This kid, at any chance, he's going to go big. This guy's going to go big. And so Enigma said, hey, how about you put, we go Plague and Hollis against you? And I go, oh, shit. I go, I still have stitches here in the chin.
Yeah.
He said, well, you better be all right by then, because you guys, it's on. Like, all right, let's do it, man.
Yeah, and, so and play- I would say Hollis is very underrated, because we wrestled him in Laguna Hills.
Yeah.
And I hit that dude so hard that my hand hurt, and he still kept coming. He kept coming so much that I had Nicolette him. She came out. I said, "Grab him and hold him."
He's very well conditioned.
She held him and barked at him as I hit him, and I jumped in the ring, and he was right behind me. So the kid is very durable, and he smart too. He said, "Look, man, if I'm gonna wrestle, you know, I get a victory over Guyam, that's going to shoot me up, you know, even to another level or whatever. So this kid's coming for blood, right?"
That's right. And like I tell you, the guy is a main eventer. He deserves to be in the main event. And he's just moving up. So it's going to be one hell of a match. That's one hell of a match.
But, that card is stacked. Not only that, but you've got two title matches. You've got the tag team belts on the line, as well as the is it the middleweight belt that Maligno and Robbie are going for?
Yes, middleweight, and Maligno is another guy who's a very dedicated, well-conditioned wrestler. I mean, we also work out in the same ring. In fact, in the same gym. In fact, Maligno and Robbie, Hollis and I work out in the same gym, at Medina's gym. And Robbie, I mean, geez, that guy, he's got experience, and forget about it. So this is a real, real good match. And then, of course, the tag team, Atomic and Malice, these guys this is their first defense, actually, against Ray Lee, who's another very, very well-conditioned wrestler. And then, of course, Jaguar, he's already been recognized throughout Southern California as being a top-notch wrestler.
Yeah, very
and
technical.
So, very technical. And, well, he works out MMA, you see.
Yes.
So, so this guy is the real deal. And so that's one out, those two matches. And then look at your match, Fabiano and Quetzal, against the father and son combination of Montanes. Those guys, I'm telling you right now, King Fabiano, these guys are coming for. Okay,
well,
I'm not kidding you, boy.
Well,
they're
Junior's coming for blood. I don't know what happened, because it was me, Robbie, and then it was Alas de Oro and Vulcan Junior, and I was trying to wrestle a good match or whatever, but I still and he didn't like that. So did he come to you and say, hey, look, I'm put him with us for the next match and let's see what happens?
Oh, yeah. They're after you, my brother, so watch out. They're after you. And then the dad, he jumps in and says, we're going for that. And I said, well, Quetzal is a kid who's showing that he's got ability. He goes, never mind, Quetzal.
Yeah.
You're gonna put anybody on. We're going after Fabiano. Fabiano is our target all the way. Of course, Quetzal, he's a wrestler.
Well, see, it's good that you put him with me, because he's a young kid who's got this gimmick that people just, you know, are dying to see or whatever. So when I talked to him, he said, yeah, let's do it, man. I'm totally down or whatever. So we've been working out a little bit together, you know, and we've also went to go check out a couple of New Japan shows and stuff like that. So, you know, we got something for these guys. So, but I mean, that card is just completely stacked, and the people who are going to benefit it from it are the fans. So then in the first match, it starts off with the bank because you got a three-way going with that one.
Yep, that's California versus Príncipe Peruano and Super Gabacho.
Yes.
The three guys, they know each other very well already, and they wrestled. Cali has the distinction of beating both. The other two guys have won each. But Cali, you know, he's the experienced guy. You know, he's Mr. Extreme. So you never know what Cali's going to come out with, a saw, a shotgun, or a bringing a dagger. You never know. This crazy guy.
Yeah, he does come with some crazy stuff or whatever. But real quick, let me take a quick break. Can you hang on for one second? Just one question I want to ask before I let you go, but I got to take this quick break. Hold on, everybody. We'll be right back. Just a quick 30-second break.
Okay, let's go.
Takes me a second to reset everything, but we're here. You're at UWC Radio. Sure. We're talking to Guyana El Chivo, talking a little bit about, you know, being that first Pistol Pete Memorial Tag Team Champion, and then it just doesn't stop. He's already back with the, you know, it just keeps going because him and Warhawk are going to be taking on the Plague and others, and that just makes it even more, you know, you got to be. See, but to me, Guyana, this is why wrestlers are a different breed, because you're just so used to the grind. You know, okay, yeah, that match is done, but look, I got this coming up. I got to get ready for it. I got to make sure I'm in the gym. I got to be ready, you know, and all that. So that's why wrestlers are a different breed, right?
Yes, sir. I mean, we're not sprint runners. We're marathon runners. I mean, we don't go by season. It's year round.
Yeah.
And so the more work you put in, I mean, that's just the way it is. It's always been like that. I'm a hard worker. I like getting booked here, there, everywhere. And I'm very honored that people are interested to booking old man Cahan. And so, I mean, they know that I'm going to give them everything, and the fans do too. But let me tell you, Bobby, this event on the December 12th is more special than ever, because that's the day of the Virgen de Guadalupe.
Yes,
mother of Mexico, and it's very, very, very special. Let me tell you this real quick story. Jack Fancy, you know, he's a nut.
Yes,
Jack Fancy's a nut, and the kind of guy that people love to hate. And we were in the Halloween show. He was going to come out with a candle. I don't know what the hell he was going to do with a candle, but I saw that it had the image of the Virgin, and I told him, you know what, pal. I talked to Enigma, and Enigma talked to him. He says, you know what? No, that's not going to happen, man. You can't go out with a Virgin Mary, because it's very special. La Virgen de Guadalupe is very special to the Mexican people. And you don't want to offend the people. And you know what? He wasn't doing it with that intention. He wasn't doing it. In fact, when Enigma spoke to him, he says, you know what? Look, there's the candle right there. It's over.
Yeah.
That's how respectful he was to the fans, but he didn't understand the importance,
the significance.
You know,
that much
that you give that. So this show, Todos los Mexicanos, este domingo, el próximo domingo 12 de diciembre, muy especial porque es Viva Nuestra Patrona, la Virgencita de Guadalupe. In fact, we're gonna have Mexican Aztec dancers, brother.
Yes.
They always, every 12th of December, they come out and they do their beautiful traditional dance in honor of the Virgin Mary. So it's a very special, very, very special.
Yeah, it's going to be a super special Sunday, so I highly recommend that you go down and check it out. So for the people listeners, don't forget, it's Sunday, a week from today, December 12th, Lucha Libre Alliance. Doors usually open about 5:15, 5:30. First match usually goes on about 6 o'clock, so make sure you come down and check it out. Very special day, and like you said, got the dancers coming out. You know, it's very special.
Oh, yeah.
You definitely want to make sure you check it out. Now, real quick before I let you get out of here, here's the thing. All of us work and all of us are super busy and all that. So do you ever have time, Kayam yourself, to watch any of the wrestling or any of the luchas that are on TV? Because I pay, I'm going to say close to $200 a month on my cable because I get everything. I get, you know, the CMLL and everything because I like to see, you know, all the wrestling. So do you,
certainly,
personally, do you get a chance to watch it?
Oh, yeah. I try to watch kids coming up as much as I can, you know.
Yeah.
As much as I don't have the time. But and it fills my heart to see these young guys coming up and giving it all up there in the ring. And, this is the future of our business. And when in my case, when everything is fine and done in my career and I'm done with this, it just makes me so happy to see that these kids are going to keep these things alive.
Well, hey, I don't mean to cut you off, but I'm on the tail end of my career, but I ain't going nowhere until I get that rematch, because I got my ass kicked on that last one or whatever, so I'm heading down that road. There's a few nails in my coffin that Kayam put in that coffin, but I ain't going nowhere until we at least get that rematch. So that hopefully next year, 2022, we can get that going. I'm sorry, I didn't mean to cut you off, but I just had to tell you right there. But, you know,
Bobby, before I forget, just a couple of hours ago, I was at the Downey Company Pizzeria.
Yes.
It was Alex Knight. Alex Knight, your dear friend, Alex Knight. Alex Knight. We were there with a couple of guys and the honored Tlaloc and a few other wrestlers. And your name came up, right? Oh, because they saw the card for next Sunday. And they all said, please tell Fabiano a big hello, a big hug. The Ballards were there. And the Ballards. And they said, man, Fabiano, please tell him hello. And Alex Knight, these guys, you know.
We were doing a show in Visalia, California. Okay, and it was myself and the Bronx Bomber, Alex Knight, and believe it or not, the Iron Sheik. We're drinking beers because we were so I didn't even know he was on the card, and we're like, hey, let's buy you a beer. That beer turned into about 20. I mean, you have never been with Alex Knight and Iron Sheik. It was one of the funniest times. I swear, I had my abs were sore for the first time because I laughed so hard. But yeah, man, I appreciate
you.
I really want to see those guys. Go ahead.
You fuck it.
that dude's legit crazy, man. But anyways, what I'm bringing everything up to is there was two shows that I went to. You know, it takes a lot to get me out of the house, and it takes a lot for me to, you know, to spend money or whatever to go. But you know, my daughter Nicolette, when she sees a show, she says, "Hey, man, I really would like to see this person. You know, I'll get the tickets. Don't worry about it." So we went to go see the one show, and I gotta tell you, man, it was Taya Valkyrie against Fabi Apache, and they were on such a different level than these girls. Not to be putting the SoCal girls down or whatever, but when they came out, I mean, it was just amazing. They put on. You could tell that they were trained and they knew what they were doing. I mean, they really put them up. Now, for me to take money out of my pocket and take it to the ring, that's a whole different thing, but it was just that good. So at the last minute, Psicosis, Nicho El Millonario, was coming to do a show. And Pagano couldn't make it. He got his COVID test or something. So Black Tarus and Laredo Kid just happened to be in San Diego, and they were like, hey, man, we're just going to be at the hotel. You know, we really would like to come work this show. So they brought him. So it was Nicho, it was Black Tarus, and it was Laredo Kid in the three-way. So we went to go check it out. And it was the same thing, not to be putting anybody down, but when they came out, I mean, it was, they were just there. I mean, it was just, everything was crisp, everything was sharp, you know what I mean? So I got to tell you, man, I think the luchadores are really starting to come to the forefront, and a lot of these big companies, you know, Impact and AEW are starting to recognize that, you know?
Absolutely. I mean, it's just undeniable. The talent of these young wrestlers, and Mexico produces them. I mean, shit, like Xerox copies, you know, because there's just so much talent. And everybody says in Guadalajara, that's the cradle. And other people say, no, it's Torreón. No, it's Mexico City. No, it's the whole country. We have so much talent, but. And let me tell you what it is. It's just these kids are hungry, and I'm telling you, not hungry just for success. No, they're hungry for food, because the situation is really bad, and it breaks my heart to say that.
Yeah.
In Mexico, we're going through some really bad times, and so these kids, they're literally hungry, and so I mean they want to look good up there, because that's putting food in the plate for the family. And so those kids, when you have a kid like that, oh, you better watch it, man, because these kids, you're taking food from their family, right?
Yeah, so, they come to wrestle.
I mean, you're in bed with them. They're going for the jugular, because they want to move on. They want to move on. And I mean, these guys are, and those young ladies, my respect, because they bust their behind just like the rest of us. And but anyway, Alex Knight says he wants a cage match with you.
Hey, well, let me tell you something. I don't have much left, seriously, because I got so much going on and all that. And I got, as you know, I got injuries where I have to use kinesiology tape and all that. But that's one thing. That's what I told, we were talking, my daughter and I, about, you know, because she was going to do a show here. And I said, what do you got left? And I told her, I said, you know, I am not leaving this business until we get that rematch or whatever. So, first of all,
we got
in Long Beach, for the people listening, the Unholy and I wrestled the Chivos. And I'm just going to be honest, man. We were coming up in the business or whatever. We said, man, we got to wrestle these Chivos for, man. They're not on our level. We're pro wrestling. And we took a beating. I mean, it took me days to recover. Ooh. And ever since then, Enigma and I kept going back and forth. I kept going, when am I going to give him a rematch? We never got that. He goes, oh, yeah, you're going to get it, whatever. So we never, you know, due to injuries, you know, Enigma had to retire and stuff like that. So Guyam and I, only two left. Unholy's not wrestling anymore. So we got it. You and I, one more time before it's all over. But in 2022, okay?
Okay, puppy. You know that.
You got it. For the people listening to this, don't forget Sunday, this coming Sunday, a week from today, December 12th, Lucha Libre Alliance. It's at, give me that address again real quick, Florence and Maine.
That is 132 East Florence Avenue, right in the corner of Florence and Maine, L.A.
Yes.
And the number you want to call is area code 562-896-3954.
963954. Okay, you can get information. You know, it's funny because a lot of people do call and want to reserve seats. I've had people message me, what number do I call to get the seats reserved or whatever? So if you want to reserve some seats, call that number. We'll get you all taken care of. Hey, I look forward to seeing you on Sunday, Guyam, and I'll talk to you real soon. All right, my friend?
I God bless you, and thank you so much for having me on the air. It's always an honor, and Chivo Power!
Igualmente. We'll be right back after this. Guyam El Chivo, everybody. Getting ready to call Dashade. Hopefully he's there. I'm getting a text that says not yet, so hopefully he's good to go. But for the people listeners, make sure you check out Yards After Contact. Got to check out Yards After Contact apparel, clothing brand, and, of course, custom cornhole boards. Go to their Facebook page to check out some cool picks, especially the UWC custom cornhole boards, as well as UWC T-shirts and golf shirts, modeled by the owner and proprietor of the United Wrestling Council, Manny Pinson. Yards After Contact, look, I got a thing and it threw me off. Yards After Contact is your number one source for apparel and custom cornhole boards. Check it out and get yours today. Yards After Contact is a proud sponsor of the UWC Radio. Also, Paul's Photo, far and away, Paul's Photo is the best store for all your camera needs. Located in the city of Torrance, best prices and professional advice from beginner to pro. Still photos and videos, Paul's Photo will be there to take care of all your photo and video needs. Located at 23845 Hawthorne Boulevard in the city Hawaiian Gardens, city of Torrance. You can call Mark at 310-375-7014. And you can always go to paulsphoto.com. Paul's Photo, ready, willing, and unable to help with all your camera needs. Let's give Dashade a call. Hopefully, push the wrong button. All right. See if he's ready to roll, because got to talk to Dashane about the big show coming up in Vegas. Who even knows where that name came from? Hey, Dashane, it's Fabiano. You're live on UWC Radio. Can you hear me?
Yes, I can. How y'all doing?
This is beautiful. Real quick for the people listening to us, you're here. You're at UWC Radio. Don't forget you can check us out on Sundays from usually from 7 till about 8:15, but on the line with me right now, Dashade himself. Dashade, first of all, is it raining out there in Vegas yet, or is it pretty cold out there? Because from what I hear, the weather took a turn for some coldness.
It did take an abrupt turn. Like, the temperature out here slowed down like I just saw a traffic cop. Like, it was 90s, and now we're sitting, like, currently outside, it is 65 degrees outside.
Yeah, it's weird. Like, the weather's bipolar. It can be 50 degrees one day and then like 85 the next over here in California. So it's crazy. But real quick, I want to talk a little bit about this new company, that you know, the Pride Style and big match coming up, a big show that we're actually going to go down and go check out. But before we get into that, I got to tell you, man, for the people listening to me, Dashade came down with the guys from Vegas when I was working for OCCW, Orange County Championship Wrestling. And it was myself and the Unholy against Dashade and Looney Bin. So what happened was we go through the match and blah, blah, blah. And I don't know what happened at the end, but they picked up Looney Bin. We're going to give him the 3D. I don't know what happened, but he landed on my partner and knocked him smooth out. I mean, he was just out. So we took it home, whatever. So ever since that day, which was quite a long time ago, I kept telling Dashade, dude, I owe you a good match, bro. Got to have a good match. So with this company now, with the UWC, I told Manny, I said, hey, let's bring the guys down from Vegas, man. You know, they're good guys, and, you know, they're willing to come down and put on a good show or whatever. So eventually, you know, in 2022, we're definitely going to bring down Dashade and some of the guys from Vegas. You remember that day still, even though it was a while back, Dashade?
I do remember that day. I do, and vividly. Now what happened?
Yeah, well, you know, when that happens, everybody's looking at you like, what the heck happened? But he was just out. I don't know. I think he hit head first. He when he grabbed
it, was like head to head.
Yeah, that's what, and he landed on it, on his head or whatever. But anyways, it was crazy. But so since then, Dashade's been down a couple of times, and we haven't been able to wrestle each other or whatever. So since then, it seems like okay. When you talk about wrestling or lucha libre or whatever, it seemed like like Los Angeles was the capital because you're so close to the border, so a lot of the luchadores come down here or whatever. But I got to tell you, man, they had the first Lucha Expo in Las Vegas, and I think it's pretty much shifted over to Las Vegas, you know, because you guys got a few companies that have started to blossom out there in Las Vegas, and now you've got this new one that's coming out with the – I mean, what do you attribute that to? Do you think it – like once you have a really good show and people see there's good training, people kind of start heading out that way or whatever? Because I remember I was talking to Chris Bay at the first Lucha Expo, and he said, yeah, you know, I got some really good training out here, and that's what's really helped me get to the next level. So can you expand a little bit on that?
Yeah, so when it comes to, like, training for wrestling, there's different ways of doing one move. I was taught as in, like, flavors of ice cream. Like, everyone has their flavor type of thing, right?
Yeah.
And I think that helps to diversify some wrestlers from others, and it helps them showcase what they can do as for certain situations. Like, some of these lucha shows have been crazy, crazy, like, I've seen a different side of a wrestler. I've seen wrestle many times before, but he's over here doing stuff I've never seen before, if that makes sense.
Yeah. But, you know, I got to tell you, Dashade, you know, not first of all, I'm fat, so I have no room to talk. But it seems like you've really upped your game and really, like did something hit you and go, hey, look, man, this wrestling's starting to take off because you're in shape now. Not that you weren't in shape before, but it just seems like something hit you and said, look, man, I got to take this to another level and start going. I mean, was there a certain match or something like that that made you say, look, man, if I'm going to do this, you know, it's starting to get the competition starting to rise. I'm going to start making a move because you look in good shape now, man.
I appreciate it. So when COVID first happened, I was like, well, I can't wrestle. I need to get my wrestling fixed. I was like, oh, I'll just watch back some of my matches and see things I need to work on, right? And
yeah.
I'd watch my matches back, and I'd be like, there's something about me I don't like in these videos. I couldn't figure out what the hell it was. It's the way I look.
Yeah.
I got to fix the way I look. So I told myself, I was like, if I'm not in better shape by the time the world opens back up and wrestling's coming back, I'm not going to return to wrestling.
Yeah. And, well, to me, it seems like since there's so many, you know, places for you to work and the competition's starting to come out that way, you know, it would behoove you to – because, like, let me put it this way. Any minute that – okay, let's say Impact comes into town. Hey, man, we need somebody to wrestle this guy. Dashé, bam, let's do it. And you're ready. You know what I mean? In shape, got your gear, and you're good to go. But real quick, I'm sorry, man, but for some reason, I only got like a few minutes left. I'm running up against the clock, so I want to get this in. For the people listeners, got to check out Pride Style Pro Wrestling. It's Friday, December 10th. It's at the Versus Pro Studio. Do you know what time everything's supposed to start, Dashade?
I believe it's still starting at 7 p.m.
Okay, 7 p.m. Let me make sure I put that down. So usually doors will open about 6:30. First match is at 7 p.m. Now, Your opponent, speaking of that, your opponent had to drop out, do some specific COVID protocols or whatever. So they put, is it Keisha or Kaita? How do you pronounce it?
So my new matchup is against Kita.
Kita, okay.
Yeah.
Dude, does that throw you into, I mean, were you prepared for this guy and you have to shift gears and go for this guy? Right now at this moment, does it really matter or you just worry about yourself?
Threw off my game plan a little bit, but it's easy to adapt. But I still got time. I got about a few more days, and Kita is the one that I beat for the title I have currently anyway, so I kind of know his background. It was harder for me to get ready for MV because I'd never faced MV before.
Yeah, and so that means Keisha or whatever is going to be coming for blood since you beat him the last time, so you're going to have to be ready. Well, I got to tell you, you know, Nicolette has been doing a lot of shows, and you know, she's always checking out shows, you know, just to see, you know, I don't want to say competition, but just what the other people look like. So when she saw this show, she said, hey, you know, we're going to be out in Vegas. I definitely would like to check out this show. And we got her tickets a long time ago. She bought the VIP. She goes, I want to go check out Dashade. And then it just kept going, you know, Darwin Finch and then Ricky Mandel and all that. So it started to really blossom into a pretty big show. So we're definitely looking forward to that. For the people listening, you've got to check out Pride Style Pro Wrestling. It's Friday, December 10th. It's at the Versus Pro Studio. Usually doors open about 6:30. First match should go off about 7 o'clock. So Dashade's going to be wrestling. I'm sorry, dude. I'm Mexican, dude. Is Kita?
Kita.
Kida. He's going to be wrestling Kida. And it's been a while since I got to see Dashi wrestle. He's really made a concerted effort, man, to get it in gear, get in shape, and be ready. So I kind of feel like, you know, Kida, you're going to have to up your game, man, because Dashi is ready. So we definitely look forward to that. So real quick, I'm not familiar with the Versus Pro Studio. Is that more towards like where Sam's Club is, or what about, or is that more towards the store, or is that?
Versus Pro Studios is located inside the Boulevard Mall on Maryland and Desert End. We're inside of a mall.
Okay. I think I know what you're talking about. Or what? Well, Nicolette and I are definitely looking forward to going and checking out that show. You know, for me, because, dude, I'm an old man. It takes a lot to get me out of the house. But she's like, you know, we're not that way. I'm going to get tickets out, and I want VIP because I want to be up front and personal to check out Dashade and Kata. And it was MV something at the beginning, but now it's Kata or whatever. So we're definitely looking forward to going to the show. Now, the most important question I have for you, are they going to have snacks? Because, dude, you know me. I got to have some snacks and something to drink. They going to have some stuff available?
So, yes and no. We want ourselves. However, right next door to us is the movie theater. So you can get popcorn, beer, burgers, coffee, paninis, anything you want. It's next to
perfect. Dude, you're preaching to the crowd, man, because that's exactly what I like. But I'm definitely looking forward to going and checking out Dashade. Hey, Dashade, I appreciate you coming on. I'm so sorry, but I'm running up against the clock. So for the people listening, we're going to be out there. We're going to go check out the show. Make sure you check it out. It's Pride Style Pro Wrestling. It's Friday, December 10th. It's at the Versus Pro Studio. It's going to usually 6:30, 7 o'clock, the matches get started, so make sure you come down, check it out. Dashade, I make you this promise, man. I'm going to come see you, talk to you for a little while. I'm going to talk to Manny, the owner of the United Wrestling Council, and we'll get you out here so that we can have at least one good match, man, before there's a few nails in my coffin of my career. So I would like to at least give Dashade a good match before I ride off into the sunset. So we definitely want to bring you out here. I'll tell you what, we'll bring you out later because right now it's freezing out here. And you know we do a lot of our shows outside. So we'll definitely bring you when it's nice and sunny. And you know what? I'll even do you one better. We'll make sure we'll take you out and have a good time. How about that?
Well, I'm with it.
All right. For the people listening, make sure you check out Dashade, Pride Style Pro Wrestling. Hey, I look forward to seeing you, buddy. I'll see you on Friday, December 10th. All right, my man?
Yes, sir.
All right, Dashade. Good to talk to you. I'll see you soon, mama. For the people listening, we'll be right back after this. All right, man. I'm running up against the clock, so for the people listeners, make sure you check out UWC, UnitedWrestlingCouncil.com for all the latest information. We send some stuff out to Cody Rhodes so we can make sure, get him some stuff, and we'll keep everybody next show, we're looking towards February 27th, so I hope to talk to you guys all soon. Make sure you check out the website, and we'll see everybody here Sunday on UWC Radio.